Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hi, ho, everyone. My name's Mr. Fruit, and welcome back to the GG Over Easy podcast. In today's episode, we are joined by our guest, Force, which you'll hear more about from him, his lore, his takes on some of video game things and whatnot. Had some interesting conversations. We talk about one about his lore, of course. We talk about the absolute dumpster fire that came out of this week, which is Mixer, just straight up piecing everything out. There's like, you know what, dude? I'm out. He's SpongeBob. He's like, I'm going to head out. Twitch is like, sure, dude, go for it. Some more gaming news, drama. As always, we find a way to talk about Destiny. There Pokemon was some again some Pokemon drama. I swear we're just like two trick pony.
Pokemon, a Pokemon Destiny 2 podcast. Yeah,
don't ask me, but we do have a meme of the week, chosen by Blue, and I knew exactly which one he was going to choose.
It's a great one.
Feels bad. So for you audio listeners, for you video listeners, I'll throw it up. And for you audio listeners, this guy's name
Eric Andre.
Eric Andre. Okay, I always forget it. It's that meme where he's like looking behind him, shooting the couch, and then he looks all befuddled in the second like post, except it's me on the couch and me also shooting myself with my grenade launcher in the Destiny video. And I'm asking like, who killed me? Everyone made literally like 500 comments out of the 1,000 on that video are, Mr. Fruit, you're stupid. And like,
is that in the latest Dream Team?
Yeah. And like, you killing yourself with the grenade launcher was hilarious. Also, you're bad. Wasn't memeing it up, dude. I guess I have no depth perception. But it, when you shoot that thing, it doesn't even have a big blast like radius. And then I'm all the way over there and it's like chunking me for 3/4 of damage. I was like, there's no way this is my grenade launcher. You guys blew it out of proportion, all right?
You killed yourself literally 3 times in a row, and you're like, bro, what? I think it's a mechanic. I think this thing kills you when you kill it. Could someone else test it?
I'm just saying, dude. It doesn't make... It's sus. That's all I'm saying. Honest mistake. With that, we also want to quickly thank everybody that tuned in to the GCX stream block we had last Friday, raising money for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. You guys showed up and donated $145,000. That's a lot of money, and the kids really do appreciate it. We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Earned a lot of videos. Earned us a lot of content.
Rust Season 4 will no longer be a meme here soon. Yeah. So with that, enjoy this episode. Let's get into it. And welcome back to the GG Over Easy episode 44. I thought I said 2 and then you said, actually it is 43. I'm pretty sure it's, yes. Episode 43. Hey, hi, how are you? In our 10 episode guest-a-thon, next up here we have Force Strategy. Everybody,
I still got... that's not even my name anymore, but it's fine. I don't blame you because
it's
my Twitter handle and it's my, my name's a mess.
I saw, I know you're Force, but then I was like, well, what would your YouTube like name was Force Strategy and your Twitter header was Force Strategy. So I was like,
yeah, it's
Force Strategy.
I don't blame you. Everyone calls me that or Force Gaming. I guess if I were to pick something, I would go just Force, but it's all equally bad, so it doesn't.
I think it's good. Force no. is
tight. It's cool a little. It's a little aggressive. I've said before. I'm not sure.
Force.
It wasn't. Yeah. It's a little. It's a little more self-serious than I would hope to be. But I mean, all online names are terrible. I mean, look at you guys. Like, it's not.
it's like a weird hybrid of like my name. Like, it's
none of them are good. None of them are good.
Put your favorite color in your name. Ooh, real original.
Hey, do you like fruit? Ooh, yeah. We all know that.
I've had bad gamer tags, man. I've had some bad, like Rowdy Cool Cat. Like, glad that didn't stick around for like a gamer tag. There's a lot of bad ones.
Oh yeah, all mine have always been awful too. I think back in like the Halo Xbox days, I was like Falcon Hero or some like. Nice. Just,
yeah,
that's, I mean, that's really kind of tight though.
Very 16-year-old of me. You know what I mean? So.
So then I guess, well, first we should ask, so where did Force come from?
I just had picked the name when I started in the StarCraft II beta. I think that was summer 2010. At the time, I was going to school part-time and bartending, and I was trying to figure out like what I wanted to do with my life. And I was like, well, maybe I'll join the Air Force, you know? It seems like an okay division or something. Maybe less likely to get shot. I don't know. So that was just happening at the time. It was a consideration, and I couldn't come up with my gamer tag. So I was just like, USAF, that was taken. Then I was like, Force, how about just Force? And it was available, and I was like, okay. So, and then I started making videos, and the name just stuck from there, basically. So yeah, kind of
Uncle like Sam day. Is
yeah no well, I mean Sam's I didn't join proud. So I'm not trying to take any I don't want to get like imposter military person here. I did one semester in college of ROTC and dropped out. And then I vaguely consider the Air Force. That's my closest, besides my family members, my closest association with the military. So again, another one of the reasons why I'm like, man, Force is just a hell of a name, dude.
Yeah, my closest association, my brother served in the Air Force for 8 years. That's as far as it gets for anyone in my family. But I think he would have agreed. He obviously is totally not biased and would say Air Force is the best. So I'm sure he enjoys the tag.
Did you just get the name Force in the StarCraft beta? And then you're just like,
well, I think it actually wasn't hard at the time, because I think by then Blizzard had started just adding the random numbers at the end of a name.
Right. Yeah.
I believe that started with StarCraft 2 or somewhere thereabouts anyways. So it wasn't even difficult to get a name at that point. So, yeah. And then the YouTube channel. Actually, before, I feel like I said this on a podcast recently, but it wasn't this one, obviously. Before that. Before that, I was Chupacabra Gaming. That was like my initiation into the YouTube.
That one's kind of tight.
They're all bad. Every single online name is bad. I would rather just go by Dennis at this point, but it's all right.
So I guess
strategy.
Before we get into more specifics, what's the broad overview? How would people know you if they did, or if they didn't? What do you do? Give them the elevator pitch.
Yeah. So I back in 2010, I started the YouTube channel. I was just making StarCraft 2 videos because I was playing it at the time. And I remember watching people like HD StarCraft and Husky and Total Biscuit. And I was like, hey, you know what? I would like to try making some videos. So I started making StarCraft videos. I didn't want to just do the commentary because that's what everyone was doing. So I was like, I'm smart. I'll do strategy. And I'm not smart. What I ended up doing was I would just like go. There were a bunch of SC2 replay sites, and you could go and just rip the replays of games of professional players. And I would literally just say what they were doing. Like, people, yeah, exactly. I was like, okay, he's got this many number of minerals, and he builds this now. And everyone's like, oh, this guy's a genius. I'm like, I'm just looking at the screen and saying what it is. That's the extent of my intellect there. But one benefit of doing that was that I started to understand what the pros were doing just by virtue of literally spending the time to look at it. So I was like an okay StarCraft player. I remember when they first added ranked, I got to Diamond like in the first week. But once everyone started playing and all the good people really showed up, I quickly dropped down. But I did put up a YouTube video about how I got Diamond in StarCraft 2 ranked mode.
That was content.
You don't got to go into specifics, you know?
Yeah. Arrow point.
So I basically from all of that, I ended up like getting some okay views early on my StarCraft content. Machinima rolled in and gave me that perpetual contract to that sign away my soul for the rest of my life.
Hey.
That was everybody's goal.
Exactly.
Like, and you saw like a machine, the boom, and like,
yeah.
Oh, this dude's like, a big deal. Oh, this dude's hot shit.
So then I started it as a job. Like I took a break from school. I was like, well, I started getting checks after that was back in that day too. In the 2010,
what year is this? Okay.
2010, 2011, pretty much all contracts, at least that I were aware of, you got paid in 3 month intervals. So I like started in the summer. I think I got my first check in December and then I was like, fuck it. I'm like, I'll take a break from school. I'm still going to work as a bartender a little bit, but then after like 6 months of getting checks, I was like, I don't even want to talk to these people. I barely drink alcohol. So yeah. I'm done being a bartender. And then I just started from there and like my YouTube career has been going ever since. And that's what I've been doing full time, dabbling sometimes in like streaming and different things. And I've covered various games. Like it started with StarCraft and then I covered a bunch of Diablo 3. There was a time where I play a lot of MMOs just personally, so I've covered various MMOs like Elder Scrolls Online over the years. That was a big one. Covered a bunch of other Blizzard games because I've always been a Blizzard fanboy, like Hearthstone and Heroes of the Storm. Those took up huge swaths of time. And then I got a huge bump when Overwatch came out, and I made a lot of videos. I got a lot of new subscribers during that. And that was a great time while I was enjoying the game, but then after...
Same.
After about a year and a half, I was so sick of it. And I kind of pigeonholed my channel at that point into making Overwatch videos because it had been all I did for a year and a half. So these hundreds of thousands of subscribers that I had from that, all they knew was Overwatch. All they cared about was Overwatch with some remnants of the years before. And then one day I'm just like, I just can't do it anymore. So I just stopped doing Overwatch videos and channel took a hit in like regular consistent viewership. But I've kind of just been doing what I want since then and covering the things I'm interested in. And it's more or less working out, you know, some months are better than others, but I'm also very fortunate that I, like 2 years ago, I signed with an agency that's like actively looking for sponsorships. And that that's has, cool. It's honestly been a godsend because mm-hmm. YouTube revenue can be so all over the place. Like you can have a fantastic month and make no money. And I know people hate YouTube sponsorships, but there's a decent chance if I wasn't getting YouTube sponsorships that I would just be doing something else with my time right now, which I would be fine with. I really love YouTube and I want to keep doing it. I love gaming. And it's even though it's been 10 years of making videos about video games and I'm old YouTube man at this point at 34.
10-year badge, man. I think they should get like all active like on Neopets, everyone had like a badge for how long they were doing. They should get like YouTubers like an active badge.
I'm pissed at Susan, is that her name? The YouTube
Suzanne
lady?
Collins, yeah.
I haven't got a single plaque. I got one plaque from YouTube ever. Nothing. There's nothing to put on my walls. So
wait, really?
Yeah, no plaques. Probably because I move a lot, but still, that's on you. Yeah,
somebody else has a couple.
Plaque just sitting there with the Force Gaming plaque, like at their apartment.
Exactly.
This is tight, but like,
it's like,
who's for?
It's like my place.
It's probably in her office. She gets all the returns, but she sticks it on her wall.
You never it's get like another one. Gaming.
Another one. I was the same way. So, well, I got my 100,000 and then I got my million, but I kind of got boned because while they were sending my million, they like redid the million button and it was way cooler.
Oh, and they're way cooler now.
Yeah.
And it's annihilated.
They never.
Where is it? stuff.
He doesn't even know. He doesn't,
like something like that, like people strive for their whole lives, like a like talking about it. Where is it?
That's a good question. It was hanging up in my last office, but I'm...
Where? It's somewhere.
Now he realized he's like, wait a second.
I actually have no...
Yeah, you don't care that much, Fruit. Come on.
I was gonna... Well, because it's scuff. Anyway.
Yeah.
And then I did a second...
Well, to be honest, you have now the limited edition version. At one point, that might actually be... You know what I mean? Because it's like out of print and all that.
You got the beta rewards. You participated in the alpha.
Exactly.
And I missed out. I was supposed to take a hot knife and cut it in half.
Oh, God.
And then I could have cashed that in, bro. Yeah. But I got a second channel up to 100,000, too. And it's been there a while, but I've never been contacted about a plaque for that. So I don't know how it works.
Look, I don't really care. It's all just
a pat on the back at the end of the day. Like,
yeah.
I appreciate the sentiment and everything, but I just care less about like stuff nowadays. Like, I have boxes and boxes of all the different gamer swag that I've gotten over the years, and most epic YouTube gamers will get that shelf from Target and fill it up with all the junk that they've gotten from different PR firms, and I don't want that Target shelf. It folds over every time you move because it's a piece of trash and it's like put together with nails that are micro thin. And I just don't.
I'm a black t-shirt. What more do you need? You
know, yeah, I mean? Exactly. Exactly. It's a good way to live, I think. But
hey, in their defense, some of them are IKEA. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Blue, have you gotten your badge? Aren't you like a 100?
I did get my badge. It was tight. Literally, and these guys have been working on it for so long, and like I just get like the most low effort badge possible. I got it for free.
No, so I mean, the way I see it is like you always hear those stories of like, my dad has been with his company for 50 years, retired, and he got a watch. Like, that was their like, thanks for 50 years. Here's a $20 watch.
My dad's worked at United for like, I think like 35 years or something like that. And for like 35 years, he got like a letter and a sunglasses voucher for like $100.
He got one free flight.
Oh, he gets free flights all the time. But
that's good.
Yeah.
Do you get to piggyback on that? Because that's real nice for conventions. For sure,
yeah. It's called flying standby. Yeah, so I just fly standby whenever I do events. But like, standby is cool, but it's also like you could be stuck at the airport for 9 hours in Los Angeles or something like that if the flights are booked. So like, sometimes I like buy my flights, like if it's to like a smaller airport, to like San Diego or like San Antonio kind of airports, where out of Denver they maybe do maybe two or three flights out of like really small airplanes. So it's like trying to get a seat in there when you're not, because like with, it works as seniority. So if he was with me, I would be higher on the list. But because I'm not with him, I rank lower like on the list of like how it works.
So are you just like a normal person on standby then? Or is
I'm just like a normal person on standby. I kind of get his seniority. So like if somebody else is going to battle, I like to do it. It's like, oh, my dad's worked for 35 years. I get his years. And then like this lady over here, her dad's been working for 22 years. So it's like I get a little higher than her because my dad's worked there longer.
Well, that's good.
Get destroyed.
Yeah. So yeah. I try, but normally I like buy my flights if it's to a small airport, but if it's like to LA or something like that, I fly standby all the time. We saved like so much money as a family. I didn't realize how like expensive flights were until I started going to conventions. My dad's like, yeah, I can get you a flight there and back for like $350. Even that is super cheap. Like, and I'm like, $350. He's like, Robert, do you realize how much money we saved like flying as a family of four? Like all the time on standby. He's like, we've saved like hundreds of thousands of dollars on how much we flew when we were.
Hey, if you're trying to fly affordably, now is the time.
Yeah, seriously.
Well,
but like now with like, thankfully he's a mechanic. So like, even though the planes barely hold anybody, they still need to be like updated and like fixed and all that kind of stuff.
That's good. That's
yeah.
Good.
So
we were looking at, because we're supposed to be getting married in a month and a half, and then our honeymoon was going to be beginning of September. And we were going to go to Tahiti, but Bora Bora, I believe. That's in Tahiti, right?
Is that like where it's like the typical like background screensaver of a beach where it's like the blue water?
The huts on the water? Yeah. Absolutely.
You're like, she's like, where do you want to go? And you're like, there.
I pull up my desktop. There. Those green rolling hills. Let's go there.
So are you booking your flights now because it's super cheap right now? Or
well, one. So problem is we did it through like a whole honeymoon package, whatever, and through this thing, whatever. Well, like you got deals. Yeah, and
we
then,
get
yeah.
it. You're married. Jeez.
Well, it's the traveling restrictions. They won't even let people come in, especially Americans right now. So we didn't have the choice. And we can't get our money back. So all we have to do is just push that date out until next year sometime and hope we can actually go. But so we want to take like a mini honeymoon, still do something. But we were looking at places and even just flights. And right now, they're not cheap still. We were looking. It's like...
Really?
It's kind of going back
I guess
up.
It depends. We were just the other week, Kate and I, my wife, were just like, we heard Las Vegas opened up. And we're like, well, let's see. Like, what's going on? And we were looking at, like, hotels on the main strip. Like, you could stay at the Paris for $35 a night. And like, $100 round-trip flights were up in Maine. So, from Boston International Airport to Vegas was, like, $100 round-trip. I was like, we could go on a week vacation for, like, $200. Like, you know, we'll be careful. Coronavirus and all that stuff. Make sure we're taking all the precautions. Mm-hmm. But... That's pretty cool. Like that's not even if you were just going there to like hang out at the pool and hop into the pull some slot machine levers or something for a couple of minutes.
I just sit at the blackjack table all day. That's all I'm doing. And maybe go to a show. Oh, no, there's probably no shows. Actually,
not probably not a lot of shows. Yeah.
Well, I remember seeing the video of like the day Vegas opened up and it was on the floor. Just
no masks.
No one has masks. No gloves. Just piles of people, and I was just like,
"I saw somebody with
here
a mask
we go
and
again."
Like slot machine,
yeah,
and they had like a cigarette on the side of like their it's like their nature mask. Finds a way.
Well, I don't know. We don't need to go into it, but I've been seeing some graphs recently, and those things are spiking back up. So that's gonna be it's gonna be a hell of a fall. I'll say that much.
I'll just say this: it's funny where people are like, second wave's hitting. What people don't realize
first
is
wave never left
it's not
us.
A second wave if here. It never finished. They have to go like this, but right now it's like, whoop.
I remember when we first talked about the coronavirus and we're like talking about like what the statistics
were.
Oh,
it's
were.
Not even going to be that bad. And it's like, it's so much worse than you can imagine. It is like, so bad.
Like it used to just be on the back burner of my mind. And I was just like, oh my God.
Well, because like, we went to PAX South and that was like,
the last,
practically, like, yeah, like right before everything just kind of.
Yeah.
I didn't think about it. Like, honestly, like not in even that kind of regard.
I went to PAX East when they started talking about like things shutting down.
That's right.
I was very nervous to go into
Boston.
You were
right.
Yeah, I was rightfully nervous. Yeah.
I thought they canceled East. Did they not? They still had it?
No. Yeah. I think it was.
That they God. Still had it.
You could probably check out the dates, but I believe in my memory it was a few weeks before like shutdowns really started actively happening.
PAX East 2020 was February 27th through March.
Okay,
1st.
Yeah. So March was when they started to nail
that
things
second
down.
Week of March.
But like we had gotten reports that someone had it in Boston. There was like a student, and it was a risk. I didn't get sick, fortunately, and no one around me has gotten sick, so I didn't like catch it and then show no symptoms and then spread it to people. But it was still, I'm not going anywhere with lots of people anytime soon. That's,
yeah,
I can't really. Everything's pretty much canceled. Yeah. But
well, yeah. Not around me.
No,
you would think it's just
I was gonna say, yeah.
Woo! Our county is just like
where are you?
We're in by Denver and in this specific county, like Denver, the county
it's like
of Denver
Boomer county. It's
yeah,
like...
the like rich, like upper middle class white people county is where we are. Mm-hmm. And everybody's just like, bro, it's fine. Let's just reopen everything. We don't.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing. And I'm just like,
I'm not sick. So the virus doesn't exist.
It's just like what are we doing?
I don't get it. But thankfully here, like in Fort Collins, it's actually really like everybody's normally where I go. I see masks. Like I see everyone being pretty proactive here. Thankfully.
Mm.
Well, and then there's Texas, who just took it to a statewide level. Yeah. Blue
and it's the
know.
Worst. Because here in San Antonio, we were like on it. Like we had like maybe like 3-4 cases a day for 3 months. We had below 3,000 cases. Like that, and then we were like killing it. We were doing great. They were like, yeah, there's like no community spread. We have like no hospital load. Just keep staying at home. And then our governor was like, yeah, so like don't wear masks. Like, don't even care, dude. Like, just go eat restaurants. Like, it's fine, dude. Like, obviously you're gonna be great. Just go eat somewhere. And lo and behold, in a matter of 2 weeks, we are at, like, we have doubled our cases that we had over the course of 3 months. So,
and now it's like, hey, we might have to shut everything down again. It's like,
exactly.
I just,
man, we should have done it in the first place.
I absolutely love just all of the like the memes that are like coronavirus be like, and then just showing someone super ecstatic, like strutting into the room or something like that. It's they've been so funny.
Like
I like when it's like it can't last that long, and it's like a picture of like a 2008 Toyota Corolla. Like,
yeah, no. So the world is a crazy place right now. 2020 is not slowing down. But hopefully
every year gets crazier, right? It's really just social media, right? Now every day we see all of the world's problems in our face. Every single bad thing that happens everywhere we're constantly plugged into.
I'd be very interested to see if coronavirus had happened in like 2005 or like somewhere around that kind of era before like a social media or like technology was like how it is today. It'd be really interesting to see how
Of course the event wouldn't be any different.
Oh, but just like, but like
people's interpretation of everything. Yeah, like exactly.
One of, I don't know if this is like a hot take. The internet is great and it gives everyone a voice. But I don't think everyone's voices needs to be heard. You know what I'm saying? Like some people, you keep it within your own little community. But I'm talking on each side, everybody. Like it just, everybody thinks that what they know or want to say now is just like the end all be all. And that's really just not the case. We don't need to even, hear a lot of this stuff.
Even more than whether or not everyone's voice needs to be heard. You don't need to be synthesizing everybody's opinions either. That's like such a bad like, place to be in. I've been taking such a break from, so I go back and forth, but I've been proactively trying to take a break and step away from social media as much as possible, because I will find hours disappear and then I'm like depressed and nothing good comes of it. It's not like this was a proactive use of time and I did something. Like it's one thing to find out something's happening and then like do something about it or try to be a positive force for it. And there's certainly a lot of that going on right now. Right. But it's another thing to just be inundated with like every single bad thing that's happening and then just like stew in depression because of it. Like that's not a good way. It doesn't help. It doesn't help you. It doesn't help anybody else, any of the causes that need fighting for, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I'm trying to like just news in general. I'm trying to approach it with a filter. Well, be like, I will talk to people who will no doubtly tell me what's going on. Mm-hmm. And the most important things I will engage in or at least think about. But if I'm just scrolling through Twitter, just every single bad shit thing that's happened to everybody, I spend all, you know, so I've wasted too many days and not had a positive use of that. So I'm taking a break from social media. I'm not telling anyone else what to do, but
well, I've done that with Facebook with like my family. When you just see family like posting just some stuff on Facebook,
oh my god, that's a, like, you don't want to see family
post. Like, I could not do that anymore.
I hate Facebook.
Oh my god, man.
If my dad goes, you never post, you never post. It's like, yeah, I don't post.
Yeah, of course.
That site sucks. Like, all like you go, my boomer fucking god, families dude. Sharing videos of whatever.
Not love even it. Political. Like you post like, hey guys, Corona bad. And then they'll be like, oh, I bet you believe in Corona, snowflake. And it's like, wait, how does that even, nothing
and then,
has
that,
to do
and then it's
with
like
that.
Beatles 1975 on the roof. It's just like, just,
they don't make bands like this anymore. Only it's real like, talent.
I'm so old. I don't go on Facebook. I don't post anything on Facebook.
Hey, well, you know what? Just you wait. Not too long from now, Facebook might be the only gaming streaming platform, so you'll have no choice but to be there.
That speaking is of Facebook, yeah, that's
an excellent segue.
Yeah.
Ooh, man.
Into probably the biggest news this past week was...
There's been messes, and that was a mess.
And Mixer just straight up tweeted out, like, yo, guys, Facebook bought us. Like, we out.
Well, and, okay, did Facebook buy them or did Mixer
or buy
go
out
to them
or whatever?
And say like,
yeah, I think they
a difference.
Yeah, I think that I've been actually reading a lot about this because I have a video that I'm editing right now talking about it. But apparently, so obviously Mixer was failing, right? Like they were the statistics that came out from, I don't remember the name of the web, Stream Elements, maybe it was, earlier this year, and they're like, hey, everything's on lockdown, streaming is booming. Like year over year, viewership was up over 100%. I think Facebook alone had something like 230 some odd percent increase in viewership from the year prior. And everybody was up, except, well, Mixer was up, but it was by like 0.02%. And that's with everybody staying at home. So we could assume that the world events not being what they are, Mixer would have been down year
even
over
worse,
year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with all the money they spent on talent, like paying some 30 odd million to Ninja, 10 million to Shroud, all the other streamers, is it Gothalion? Is that the
Gothalion.
Destiny guy?
Gothalion,
yeah. I'm sure he got a decent chunk of change and like probably many others that I can't think of the top of my head. All the money they spent on the platform, seeing no growth at all, they just decided this is not working. Although I will say I am astonished that they are doing it now because they have a new console coming out. They have some big games like Halo Infinite that they could try to piggyback off of for viewership.
That's what I thought.
Mixer integration.
Yeah. And they have they had Ninja, and Ninja has
the biggest Halo guy.
Exactly. So you could assume that they could have pushed some viewership there. And probably the biggest thing of all, again, I'm making a video on this, so I'm fresh on the topic. Sorry for diving.
No, this is great.
The biggest thing of all is that they're rolling out xCloud this year. So like xCloud is their streaming service, kind of similar to Stadia, although the hope is that it will perform better because Stadia. Yeah, Stadia has been a dumpster fire, I think primarily due to just like, nope, who wants to, you have to pay full price for their to streaming the games. Like it's just a bad, whatever. There's a lot of reasons why Stadia isn't working, but they were going to have something comparable in like functionality, but the biggest thing that Xbox had going for them was the Xbox Game Pass service, right? Where you pay like $15, whatever the price is, you pay a monthly fee and you get access to like 100 plus games. And everyone was assuming, and it may have been confirmed by this point, I'm not sure, but that xCloud was going to be bundled with that service. And so basically you could pay a monthly sub and stream like 100 plus Microsoft games from anywhere. And you could just put that in Mixer. So you could be watching a stream and watch someone play whatever, GTA 5, and then click on a button and start playing that game instantly. No downloads, no patching. Not, like the promise of it is good, minus all the issues with like latency problems, making the gameplay feel weird and artifacting from streaming in. You know, there's a ton of potential issues, but kind of the dream of it, like the ideal scenario, is pretty freaking cool. Like game streaming could be pretty awesome for a bunch of reasons. So the fact that they didn't wait until that happened, it just blows my mind. Like, I feel like that could have been a huge push to get people to go to Mixer once xCloud was fully out and operational.
But maybe they just were like, we've tried so much at this point that like,
there's
nothing we can do.
It's not
like,
working now. Just, then.
Like, cause Mixer's a meme, you know, Mixer, like in terms of like Twitch and stuff like that, it's always like, oh, going to Mixer, like it's just, like, and I don't know if that, because I feel like Facebook Gaming was almost taken more seriously than Mixer was as soon as it was announced, which was weird to me because Mixer had been kind of on for years and stuff like that.
Yeah. But it's weird because I feel like the audience that watches Twitch had like would be more interested in watching Mixer than going to Facebook Gaming, right? Because Facebook Gaming just feels like a different world. But the advantage that Facebook has is it's Facebook. And there's like a trillion people on the platform. Mm-hmm. So Facebook isn't going to really get viewers that are interested in the kind of community and stuff that you get on Twitch. Mm-hmm. But they have their Facebook viewers. So if they can take some of those people and get them interested in watching game streaming, they could be huge. And they have been, like I said, they have like 200% growth year over year earlier this year from that Stream Elements report. So it's pretty huge. And that's the other part. I'll shut up because I'm talking a lot about this, but I think that's the other thing that I also realized, you know, how I just talked about why didn't they wait until they rolled out xCloud and then tried to push Mixer with that. I think they feel like the user base is so small on Mixer that would actually harm xCloud. Now xCloud is rolling in. That's part of this whole deal. xCloud is rolling into Facebook Gaming. So that functionality that I just talked about of people getting to watch a stream and then click on a button to stream that game instantly, that will happen on Facebook. So Microsoft probably thinks, well, there's not many people on Mixer, but there's a ton of people on Facebook, and Facebook Gaming is growing. So instead of throwing our xCloud service onto our own platform, and yes, but it's not doing that well. It's barely growing. Let's put it onto Facebook, which, like all the reasons that I mentioned, Facebook, there's just more people there. So yeah. They probably thought it had more. They probably thought that xCloud Mixer was done, and they probably thought that xCloud's future would be better not tied into a sinking ship that was their live streaming platform.
When you put it that way, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. It's sad that they're like, guys, we have this new thing, but if we put it with our thing, it's going to suffer, so we just got to give up. Right. Now, pardon our dust while we go to this ad break. We were just, we were flowing in the conversation. I didn't want to break it by saying an ad break. Maybe I'll start doing this more consistently. But here's an ad break.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Ever tried to break a bad habit and felt like you're climbing Everest in flip-flops? Yeah, we've all been there too. But here's a breath of fresh air. Fume. It's not about giving up, it's about switching it up. Fume takes your bad habit and simply makes it better, healthier, and a whole lot more enjoyable. Fume is an innovative, award-winning, flavored air device that does that. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious flavors. I love how this thing looks. It's beautiful and real wood. The shape of it is so cool, and I look cool using it. So if you want to be like me and break your bad habit, start the year off right with the good habit by trying fume.com/GG and getting the journey pack today. Fume is giving listeners of the show 10% off whenever they use the code GG to help make starting the good habit that much easier. So make sure you guys check it out in the description. Try fume.com/GG.
See, and now nobody has to watch my video because I just basically said everything.
No, I'll go for the production value. Yeah,
it's funny.
but I mean, it is kind of at the same time though, like a bold move that maybe they had to make with your reasoning that, like, okay, maybe this isn't going to work, but we've invested even more maybe into xCloud. We believe in xCloud, and we believe it can be this great thing. But we're already going to handicap it if we release it on Mixer rather than Facebook Gaming. Yeah. So
I'm assuming one of the things that's like all the technology and losing a new streaming platform, all that stuff aside, the thing that really sucks is everyone who got screwed over in this.
That was the worst.
Seeing
literal staff members like say, yeah, we didn't know about this either, is like, man.
Yeah.
I couldn't even imagine, like, literally. Was probably five people in a room were like, yeah, we should probably just cut the cord. And then, like, those are the only five people that knew about it. And then it's just like, hey, by the way, social media manager, who probably was also just finding out about it, can you post about how we're closing Mixer and go to Facebook? And the social media managers were like, what the fuck? What the fuck? As they're typing it, that's the worst. I feel bad for the streamers, but the employees who worked for Mixer who thought they had like a stable job, because if you go into streaming, like, you know, anything can happen, and it still sucks. But like actual employees who are like, damn, like I'm gonna lose a job here.
I mean, everyone working at the service is still around for a month. It closes, I think it's like the 22nd of July. But, you know, everyone who's employed by Microsoft working at Mixer is like scrambling, like, do I still have a place somewhere else in Microsoft? Can I get transferred over to Facebook Gaming, or do I need to look elsewhere? And then all the streamers that got caught off guard, like I saw a ton of posts online, people just breaking down. These streamers who got banned from Twitch moved over to Mixer, built a community, and now Mixer's gone. And then on the flip side of that, you have Ninja and Shroud,
who are just like,
who just
cashed out.
Yeah, they're like, okay.
Ninja reportedly collecting $30 million on the buyout. Shroud gets $10 million, and now both of them are free agents, and someone will pay them numerous millions to their platform.
They get to do the same dance again.
Yep, they're going to be bidding between. Well, they turned that. That's probably the craziest thing of all. Apparently, both of them turned down.
Double the offer, right?
Yes, double the offer.
Imagine just being at the point where you're just like, nah, I don't think I'm going to take that $15 million from you.
You just have fuck you money at that point, you know?
Exactly.
I mean?
Yeah.
Why you do whatever you want. Fuck you money. You know?
Yeah. Like, I mean, that kind of, you just throw that in an investment account, even like low stakes, and you can live off interest for the rest of your life. You know what I mean? Like very, 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 very comfortably.
Mm-hmm. Very comfortably.
Your grandkids can also live off of that.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So I mean, that also, though, that goes to prove the point that there's like such a stigma, or just Facebook Gaming doesn't have the appeal to like the hardcore gaming audience. All of the normies on Facebook who play Madden every year. No offense, Madden fans. I don't mean to shit on you, but you know, just like the people who aren't really tuned into like gaming culture or gaming news, who just play games on the peripheral or whatever that word is. they might check out Facebook Gaming, but like the fact that they would both turn down double the amount of money to stream on Facebook Gaming just says, I think it speaks to, I think it speaks to just like they don't really want to be there that much.
Yeah.
Well, isn't Facebook Gaming, or at least it was a little while ago, I haven't checked, but like majority of their views are mobile games, right? Because I feel that was the case.
Oh, okay. So full disclosure, I guess it's okay because I've kind of been shitting on them. I streamed with Facebook Gaming for a year. I took an exclusivity contract. I was like, I've never really been a huge streamer. I just like stream occasionally. And there have been periods of time over the 10 years where I've streamed more consistently than others. But like 2 years ago, two years ago, I was streaming semi consistently on Twitch. My YouTube was doing good, and they reached out with an offer. They said, "Move from Twitch over to here exclusively. Your YouTube stuff, whatever. Do what you do." And they paid me a decent amount of money. I'm not making millions or anything, but they paid me a decent amount of money to be there for a year, and it was a mess, to say it the least. I know it's improved a lot over time. Like some of the big concerns when I started, which was shortly after they rolled out Facebook Gaming, I think there was two waves. I think Facebook Gaming, like they started signing partners in January. I think it was 2018 that I did this, and not 2019. Yeah, I started in this summer 2018. So I believe it was early 2018 that they started signing partners for the first time. I came in midway through the year in June with a year contract with them. And like the user ability was really bad. I think even now, if you go to their website, which is fb.gg, there's just something about like the flow and the presentation of their streaming stuff that isn't that great from a user experience. On the back end, it was even worse as a streamer, like the functionality and the things you had access to, analytics and everything. It just wasn't great. I believe the bit rate, the max bit rate, was low enough to be like annoying, because from what I was used to on Twitch. And then also the viewership was just a mess, because basically the way it worked is a lot of the viewership on Facebook Gaming, to your point, like it is a lot of mobile, but even more so, like the viewers that you get were all based on their algorithm of the scrolling. So I don't use Facebook very often, but people who do will know there's this whole feature of you scrolling from one feed to the next. And basically they would slot you into those scrolls. And so you'd be streaming to like, I'd be streaming to like 200 viewers, and then it would be 2000 for like 5 minutes, and then it'd be 100. And it was just, there was just such a roller coaster. There was no consistency, no reliability. It seemed very hard to build an actual audience. Like I vividly remember we were on a vacation and I was still trying to stream a couple of times throughout for like a couple hours. So one day I was streaming, I don't even remember. It was a popular game at the time, but I think it was Fortnite or something. So one day I was streaming Fortnite and I got like 50 viewers or something for the 2 hours that I streamed. And then the next day, I'm just like, I don't know. I don't, whatever. I'm getting no viewers. I'm going to stream Age of Empires 2. I had like 3,000 concurrent viewers instantly for the entire stream. I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Like, there's no consistency here. Like, how? You're telling me there's that much of an Age of Empires 2 like audience on Facebook? That's like, it just... So basically what clearly happened is like I got slotted, the Facebook algorithm said, you're getting a ton of viewers today. And then it was fine. Like it wasn't, I know I'm making it sound as horrible as possible, but you know, it was a website to stream games. It was decent enough, but it definitely, it felt miles behind. And I'm sure it's come a long way since I left in, halfway through 2019. I'm sure it's improved drastically. I would imagine it looks like it has, at least from the outside looking in, but it's I think it's still very far behind what Twitch has and even what YouTube has. And that's the other thing that really sucks about this. I didn't spend much time watching it, admittedly, but everyone always says the Mixer's like stream quality was super crisp. Like in terms of I've been told like just visually and the performance of the site was really, really good. But again, I'm not intimately familiar with it. So,
but the problem was they had like great bitrate encoding settings, all that kind of stuff. So streams would run really great. But the problem is, like you mentioned with even Facebook, like UI alone can turn off so many people. And you go to Mixer.
Exactly why I didn't go. Yeah.
And you would click on someone's stream and it was like a carnival. Like you didn't know what was going on, like bright big like, and your entire screen something would pop up and pew pew, and like the and like stickers floating everywhere, and then everything's animated. Like it felt like everything was trying to distract me from the stream itself.
Yeah,
and then just nothing. It wasn't coherent. It's just if somebody wants to compete with Twitch, which I think is completely viable, I still think that space isn't dominated and I think is easier to crack into than we see with like YouTube and VOD content. Because just the, as we know, just the upkeep and server capacity alone for something like YouTube is the reason we almost don't have any competitors, because it's just like no one can take that on. If Google's barely able, are they even cash flow positive yet? I think so, maybe like last year, but they're in the red. Forever. But with live streaming, I think it's a little more manageable and a little more friendly for competitors to try and get in. But it just seems like someone new tries to come in and it's like, bruh, like
I don't,
you're out of touch.
I don't think it's gonna happen, but like I think there might be shifts. It's possible that there's shifts. Now we have Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook. Those are the three game streaming platforms. Maybe we'll see a swapping between who's number one. I think both YouTube and Facebook could potentially overtake them because they've got these massive non-live streaming audiences that they could hopefully for their sake, they could put them in. But now that Mixer happened, now that Microsoft, who's really big into gaming, came in and they couldn't make it work. I think starting from scratch without a pre-established user base like Facebook and YouTube both have, it's not going to happen. For streamers, who's going to take the chance? If Microsoft failed, who's going to take the chance on like pretty much anybody else? Like you're going to devote your, it's just crazy.
The thing I've always said about the difference between like Twitch and like Mixer and Facebook is like Twitch has like a built-in culture, you know, like there's like PogChamps and like there's a Twitch culture that's there and like people understand that.
Yeah, you can't buy that.
Yeah, when you go to Mixer or something like that, you lose all of that, you know, you lose everything and then you're at a carnival show like Christian said and it's just like a lot taken.
I think as important as culture is, it's not like what defines if your platform will succeed or not, because you know Twitch culture is a meme, right? And it's part of what makes it so interesting. But what Force says is like starting from scratch is like the difficult part, because Microsoft has no giant social platform that already people already use. Facebook, huge social platform, everyone uses Facebook. Hey, check out the streaming thing. Oh, sure, why not? I'm a boomer. I love Candy Crush. It works. And then YouTube is YouTube, right? Everyone is already on YouTube. YouTube is just the amount of hours of watch time is obviously going to translate to people. Oh, my creator streaming, like my favorite YouTuber. Oh, I'll absolutely watch here and then. And maybe they don't have the culture of, oh, look at the Kappa memes. Haha, Kekw, Franker Faze. None of that matters, because at the end of the day, people are still watching on this site that already had people watching to begin with. And I just don't see, anyone else coming in and saying, hey, there's this new stream dead.
Yeah. It's just dead. It's hard. And I'm trying to think if there's any existing website that has a user base that could get into streaming. And I don't
TikTok.
Know. Yeah, I guess
what's
so.
What's that one video website, like
Vimeo? Yeah,
maybe them, you know?
I don't know. They've been around. I don't know when
they've
started.
They've been around forever.
But it feels like they've been around as long as YouTube. Maybe longer. I don't know. It's not going to happen.
They're the closest competitor YouTube's ever seen. And even then, it's like the comparison is...
Okay, so I'm on Facebook. Reluctantly, and by the way, the first thing I'm post so is, which Disney villain are you? Is like the first thing I see. So, and then
Jafar.
And then my uncle got Captain Hook. If you
want to go your uncle.
Somebody got hacked, and now I was trying to sell Louis Vuitton and Birkenstock for low. I hate Facebook. How do I get to Facebook Gaming?
That's what I don't get.
I've never understood that with Facebook, or I do not know how to get to Facebook Gaming.
Is there no obvious thing on Facebook.com?
No, I see Robert Home create my friend request, messages, notifications, log into other account, and a question mark.
I don't know, dude.
I have no idea how to get there. Oh, explore. Okay.
But maybe that's the thing. Maybe they just haven't. Maybe they're still waiting to like shift the UI to push it into the forefront, but they've been building momentum. As much as it blows my mind, they've been building momentum, they've been growing, so, which is more than Mixer could have said.
Really though,
like, yeah, well, the crazy thing about Mixer to me too is you weren't even able to capitalize on literally having a giant console that you could plaster your streaming platform on.
Yeah.
Like right in the dashboard, they could be taken, and sometimes they did. I know there were certain things we could see streams, and you couldn't even like get something going with that.
I know. I wonder if they. I'm almost surprised. Maybe this is the case. Maybe they did do this, but that they couldn't just get free viewers. You know how like people complain about League of Legends viewership sometimes because it's like baked right into the client or something, mm-hmm. so that people when they start playing the game, they have no choice but to watch. Is it LCS? Is that what League is? Or is that Dota? But yeah, so I'm almost surprised if they didn't do that with the Xbox dashboard. Just force people to watch a stream when they boot it up.
You're watching this.
Yeah, or just stick it somewhere. I'd
be surprised if someone's making that statement about League, though, because I've played tons of League. And when you hop onto League... on the like the splash page, it'll say like LCS is live, like so and so is playing, but nothing's playing yet. You can click on a link to go, but it's not like automatically playing. It shouldn't be counting any views.
Okay.
Like naturally. I've never seen that myself.
I remember reading that complaint before that like League viewership wasn't real because of that. But that was also Reddit, so
yeah.
You know.
I know some games have done that. I think trying to think. Did Overwatch do something like that too with Overwatch League
or World Cup or something like that?
Something like that. Well, I know the big thing about Overwatch League was the inflated numbers because everyone was sitting in there for the tokens or whatever.
Mm.
Back when it was on Twitch, and then it went to YouTube, and I forgot it even existed. Yeah,
I cannot believe how much money Blizzard poured in, or no, not even Blizzard got money. Jesus,
yeah,
I can't believe how much money people poured into the Overwatch League.
I
don't know.
It was cool to be there. Like the everything that they have there was really cool, state of the art. And then I just sat there watching Overwatch and just go, I don't get it.
Now like, I have to watch Overwatch.
Like I played Overwatch, and there was a point where I played comp and stuff. But then it's when you watch Overwatch, it's not an esport friendly game. It's literally not at like all. Just a clown fiesta 99% of the time.
Well, that's like always been the issue, right? Or the people bring up with Overwatch League is like they built a competitive league around an esports scene that didn't like organically grow, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Outside mm-hmm. of it. And maybe they're doing great, but every time I like check it out, it seems like the relatively low numbers, you know what I mean?
I'm right there with you. Yeah. Yeah. Which Riot seems to be taking the exact opposite approach with Valorant. Which kind of surprised me because obviously with their background in LCS, I would have thought they would have just immediately been like...
Just skip it and just...
Like, let's just get right into it. But they announced for like the first year or whatever, they're only going to do like grassroots events and people can like...
DreamHack and...
Yeah, people can like make their own tournaments and stuff, but there won't be any official scene yet. And so it kind of sounds like maybe that's what they're going to do.
But they can like back it, right? Like they can say like this is a sanctioned like event or something like that.
You register for it or whatever, and maybe they'll give you like some prizes or something. I have no idea exactly how it works, but it's interesting to see that contrast between Overwatch League, which is just like immediately millions upon millions upon millions. And then to see Riot not immediately do that with their brand new shooting game, considering their background, especially in esports, definitely surprised me. I thought they were just going to go straight into like Valorant Championship Series or something. So.
Do you guys know how that game's doing? It seems like...
I'm tainted with it because I'm a big CSGO guy. So, like, when I play Valorant, I just think I'd rather be playing CSGO. So, like, I played it just to, like, try it and stuff, but I prefer CSGO to Valorant. But I can get why people like Valorant more than CS.
I tried it because I haven't really played Counter-Strike. And I was like, okay, cool, new game. Maybe new game for the channel because I haven't really had, like, a main game. Since Overwatch, really.
Are you not still doing Destiny all the time?
Well, no, I stopped that a while ago.
Reluctantly?
No, I made the shift purposefully.
Years
2015?
Yeah.
Maybe early 2016? Yeah, I started double uploading every day.
It was like Taken King-ish area. Like era.
When I was blowing up.
I know some 12-year-olds who must be very upset because I remember I was babysitting for a family friend and they had a little 12-year-old who was really into games as well. It's like, oh, he's a YouTuber, he covers games. Like, do you know Mr. Fruit? I was like, I do know Mr. Fruit, I've talked to him a few times. Like, oh wow, can you call Mr. Fruit? I'm like, no, I cannot call Mr. Fruit. He's like, I love his Destiny videos. Was that your big break there? Destiny your
man?
Destiny was my catalyst, but
what a time.
I'm not a one game Andy or one game Garrett. I can't do it.
Especially that game, man. Like,
it's a bad long-term decision. I mean, I know all the Fortnite people are happy and swimming in the money right now. I physically cannot stick with one game for that long. Even if I love the game, even if I'm obsessed with the game, which I have been with every game that I've like gone whole hog into. Mm-hmm. And I've really loved Destiny like over the years. I still, every time I go back to it, I'm like, this game feels so good to play. The movement, the shooting, mm-hmm. like the all the fucking sound effects and visual effects that they have in this game. Like they really, they must pay those psychologists a lot of money because they can really, they can trigger that dopamine release like no one else. They do great. But I never stick around for it. I think now, especially with Destiny 2, I always get to the point where I do like two sets of powerful Engram weeklies. And then I'm like, I don't want to do this for 12 more weeks, so yeah. I'm done.
I feel the same way about it, and I used to play it all the time, and now I don't ever play it.
Well, the unfortunate curse it goes through right now is there's new content. You go to hop on, but then you realize you have to continue to play old content to have a chance to play the new content, which no one wants to do, especially when you've been playing that, like the hardcore players and people who play it daily have just played that content day in and day out for months.
When it's normally now the same rogue event over.
Yeah, now
and over.
Do that again for 2 more weeks, and then you can do the new content. Like, great, but at the same time.
That problem is, like, as far as I'm concerned, it's pretty much impossible. It's an impossible problem to solve. And that is the problem of you're designing a game to be super repetitively playable, something that people are going to play every single day. You cannot. It's not possible to develop new content fast enough to appease everyone, so it's going to get repetitive if you have a player base who's playing the same content for 10 hours a day. Like, the only way to work around that is, like, procedural generation, right? But people get tired of that too, you know what I mean? Because at the end, no matter what, like, the play space you're moving around is, whether or not it's procedural and looks slightly different every single time you go through, the process you're going through of acquiring gear is still the same. It's just, like, wrapped in a slightly different package. So I try not to get too hung up on that stuff, because I kind of realize, like, what's at play. Like, they're all of these loot games, they dole out, like, incremental increases in power is ultimately what it is. Yeah. That's what the power engrams are. That's what grinding for a better role in any MMO is, like WoW or something, or hoping for your Warforged or to get that socket on your piece of gear. You're just you're more or less replaying the same thing over and over again for a dice roll at slightly better. That feels good, so you do it for 100 more hours and you hope it happens again. I've really been trying in the past few years to realize when that's happening and just hop off the train and be like, okay, I had fun, but I don't need to play this game for the rest of my life. You know, I can move on.
You're
but
a better
I
man
get,
than most.
Well, that's the thing though, because I've been there too. I get when you're so invested in a game and you love it so much and you've played it so much for X number of years that you want to keep playing it. And you try to find all these things, like, this is a problem, that's a problem, that's a problem. If they change these things, I would be happy. Not to say that there aren't critiques you could have about Destiny or any loot game, but just realize that, like, they're designed to get you to keep playing the same stuff over and over again. You will get bored. Even if, like, they balance the supers better, or your favorite weapon, or that overpowered weapon gets undertuned so that you can... I don't know. Anyway, we don't need a...
Yeah. Well,
everything you're saying is right.
Yeah.
Right.
Me.
I mean, there's a lot more reasons why D2 specifically is so unsatisfying. I think someone said it best on Twitter that despite, you know, there's no such thing as infinite content. No developer can keep up with the demands of someone who plays the game like 10 hours a day every day, right. Which in this current gaming space is not uncommon at all. The problem is, with Destiny, is there's no point at which you feel like you're satisfied leaving the game. Because your entire gameplay is based around, do these weeklies that you've always been doing, get these god rolls, because you get fed god rolls all the time. And there's no end point, because the seasons have no, like, end of a campaign. There's no, like, huge new raid tiers to do. And then once you're done, you're like, oh, I got everything, I'm done. Tight, I'll wait for the next patch. And that just doesn't exist in Destiny in the way that, like, with other MMOs, where you're at a point, you get what you want, and you're like, yeah, I think I'm done for a little bit. So D2 is an interesting one. I still love the game though.
Yeah,
it's a love-hate relationship.
I swear it was Destiny. I might be misremembering, but I think it was with Destiny 1 or early on in Destiny 2, there was a quote from someone on the development team that was basically like, it must have been with Destiny 1. They basically said, we're happy if people play our game for a few months and then put it down until the next expansion.
I think it was Dej, their community manager.
Yeah. Was it D1, do you remember?
Probably.
Before they started doing, like, a lot of the repeatables. Because I think that was the complaint. Like, I came from WoW, and so many people came from all these MMOs and these other loot games. And they're like, we want Diablo Rifts. We want such and such a system so that we keep playing all the time. And their response was, well, you don't have to play this game every day. Like, you can play it get to that satisfying conclusion like you were just talking about, and then put it down until we drop our next expansion. And people are like, no! And then, look, and now we've got the repeatable content.
Well, the interesting thing is they said that, but like at some points it felt like they didn't even know what their own game was. Like sometimes the game made you feel like you needed to play all the time, but then you couldn't or you wouldn't want to.
Yeah.
Or like, especially then, I think when he made that quote that like MMO, they're like, that's not us. Oh, whoa, yeah. Don't throw that on us.
And then they walked that back this year.
And now they're like, yes, that's we are an MMO.
Yeah, but now that they said for the first time when they split from Activision, like the first time they equated Destiny 2 to an MMORPG or MMOARPG, whatever the words they were. But they said MMO for the first time.
And people are like,
that's sick. And then here we are.
Everything's going to get fixed.
And it's kind of like, well, but yeah, anyone that listens to this podcast knows that we always rant about Destiny.
We have our own Destiny corner.
We always find a way.
Do you still play StarCraft? No.
The only game that I regularly, consistently go back to is World of Warcraft. That's the only game. I usually get hyper focused. I did play a bit of vanilla. And it was a similar situation where I was like, all right, my warlock is level 60. I don't want to go back to Molten Core. So I had a hell of a time leveling. And I 100%, if they release a classic Burning Crusade, I will play the shit out of that. But yeah, I'm getting older. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like it when I was 18, I could justify playing 12 hours a day. I can't do that anymore. It's actually part of the reason that I kind of stepped back from live streaming because I was getting tired of playing video games for 8 straight hours. It's other stuff I want to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I still love video games. I can't fritter away my time. I don't think fritter is the right word.
So no StarCraft 2 ever?
No, I don't.
No.
Well,
because that's how you found him, right? Like, that's how you found
him. Yeah, well, for me, it was... Yeah, I had found him.
He's a Stan Force.
Right? Oh, all right.
He's an old Stan. Back in the day, he goes deep.
That's how I found him. It was him, Husky. He mentioned him earlier. Day 9, and
I know who Day 9 is from Hearthstone, though.
Yeah, he's still kicking around. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I still keep up with him. He just hosted that PC Gaming Awards show, which is cool.
Yeah.
And Total Biscuit, and those are the people I was watching. StarCraft, because I was getting into it. I never played the first one, and so I was looking up stuff, and I remember I would come across your videos, watch some of yours, watch other people's. That's how I'd originally...
Who'd you get the best strategies from?
Ooh,
don't say me. Like I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Honestly, probably Husky, I think, at the time.
Probably Day 9, though. No, it must be Day 9. Day 9's very smart.
Day 9 had really interesting... It sounded like what he would do with you was a lot of the times he would pull up replays, but he would just dissect them and it'd be super interesting.
Well, and he's got that whole history, him and his brother, Tasteless, right? They've got their whole history. And
Artosis is
the other caster, yeah.
Yeah.
But they have like a rich history and involvement in StarCraft 1 esports and yeah.
So that just added to it. But so that's how I know I found you. And that was aside from like Call of Duty commentaries, that was really like the only other gaming content I'd consumed at the time.
I forgot about that. Man, that era of YouTube. Well, that was the fucking.
Yeah, that was pretty much it, right? I mean, there was.
You just have to sit there and talk while playing a game. Like, no editing required.
Well, not even. It would be the other way, right? You just play. Get the recording and then just have it running and just rant. And people, I ate it up. Hey, man.
It's kind of coming back.
That was what content was back then. Yeah. Like, that was the meta.
It's kind of coming back. You see, it's kind of like what the whole Leafy era.
Where he would like surf and just talk.
Yeah. You just talk shit about children and the latest drama, like what's going on with Keemstar. And like, you get. All these kids, hundreds and thousands of kids, just watch those videos. You know, do like 15 minutes of ranting about some bullshit drama that's not going to matter in 5 years from now.
And it's that time again, ladies and gentlemen. Time for this ad break. Well, see, my favorite part was I'd listen to some people, but it would be like, geez, I have some names. I'm sure there would be so many more. Like Woody's Gamertag, Scene Anners, of course. He's like, he was the reason I started YouTube. Scene Anners.
Equals three.
What the fudge? There were so many. Mark of J. Mark of J, that was just entertaining. God, I can't even respawn that whole thing. But for me, the ones I watched wasn't just like drama or just like gameplay talk. It was usually, it was essentially what I think of like a mini podcast to me. Someone talking about like an interesting topic. And then for like 10 or 15 minutes, they're kind of getting philosophical and just discussing something. And to me, that was cool. Like for me, most of the time too, I was working at the time doing like a data entry. So for me, I would just have it on the background. Those were my podcasts. I would just listen to what they're saying. I wasn't even watching the gameplay, but I just always found it entertaining. And I guess I connected to them too immediately anyway, because I'm like, oh, they like gaming and they're talking about this. Like, oh, they play the game I play and they're doing this.
Right.
And that's where it all started for me. And I tried my hand at it. What, that wasn't meant for me. But yeah, we fast forwarded. Here we are. And I went a different way, a new channel and a different way with my content. But that's actually what I wanted to ask you about, because like you'd mentioned, you kind of started more with guides, breakdowns, but now I would say you're more like news oriented, right?
Yeah, I like news or just like topics, just things I'm interested in. Like I, every once in a while, I'll put out a list video. Those can do really well, but I'll make them about like was one that I did recently that did really well, like the upcoming MMOs, or I did an MMO review, like a 2020 MMO review. Which, but yeah, I'll talk about like current topics or just things, upcoming games I'm interested in. My content changed all the time. It'll probably change a month from now. Like I'll just always try new things. Not even because I think like this is the best way to go. I'm always, all the time, I struggle with like, what kind of content should I make? Like, should I try to make entertaining videos? Should I try to make commentary? Should I try to do news stuff? I think I just need to start making multiple channels. It's actually something that I've seriously considered, and I might start. This is my announcement. You will probably see another YouTube channel from me at some point in the future, because I'll be so inspired watching other YouTubers. Like there was, for a long stretch, I was watching Casey Neistat all the time, and I was like, I would love to make vlogs like this. Like, this is so freaking cool. Like, he just goes about his day, he picks like a general theme, and he wraps like a visual narrative around it. I'm like, that's really cool. And then sometimes, like, I've done a few vlogs of when I would go to gaming conventions, like PAX East or something, kind of with that in mind. You know what I mean? It's like, that was a lot of fun. It was so much different from what I've done before. During my Overwatch days, I would literally just, hey, what has Blizzard said today? And I would talk about it for 10 minutes over Overwatch gameplay. People watched it, so apparently.
I mean,
but yeah,
supply and demand.
Exactly. But there's like, I don't know what I'm doing. To put it simply.
Hey, that's a fair answer.
No, all right. So my content's changed a ton over the years. It will no doubt continue to change, but maybe the better way to go about it would just be to have separate channels. And I think I very well. How has that been for you? Like, how is managing like different styles or genres of content on several channels been, besides a headache, I'm sure?
Well, that's certainly been part of it. I mean, I've been struggling because we just made a new channel for this podcast specifically, because we are currently.
It's a good idea. I think
We were housing it on the main channel. And we're like taking a hit right now because of it, because obviously it's getting pushed live to not, you know, nearly 2 million subscribers.
Right.
But I do think, one, I think it was actually affecting my main channel a little bit in the way that the algorithm was seeing less viewer interest on this specific day and this specific content style, blah, blah, blah. Who really knows how that all works? So that was a part of it. But that's why I made my second channel originally, because kind of the same way with you, I would watch certain content, get inspired. I always kind of wanted to do more Let's Plays, and I really like Pokemon Nuzlocke. I don't know if you've ever seen those. But I was all about them, and those wouldn't fit anywhere on my main channel. So instead, I made a second channel. I was like, hey, if this sounds interesting to you, come over here, watch this. And on that second channel, it's like no editing. It's still a lot of work, but like my main channel is like hyper editing, like put a lot of production into it, where the second one is like, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to play something. You're just, that's it. Right. Like that's the slot of time, and juggling those has been tough, but fun. And when I do get to do it and I'm not too busy that I'm actually able to like start another thing on the second channel. It's just a nice breakup from the usual stuff. Like recently, even on my main channel, past couple months, I've stopped double uploading and I've only been single uploading, but at the same time, I've been doubling down on the time I spent editing the videos. So they're a little higher production, but this way I'm more involved. Instead of before, it felt like I was just recording, edit, pumping out, like whatever. Okay, next one. Someone would be like, oh my gosh, I love that video of yours. And I go, I don't even remember that. I'm going to be honest with you, right? Like that was just an hour of my life editing. And then it's just bop, onto the next one. Whereas now I'm spending more time and I'm finding it to be more fun. And it's just enough of a like break from the mundane of what I was doing normally, my normal schedule. That's been really good, but I'm right there with you, especially earlier on. I had a lot of different very varied styles of content, and that was because like, ooh, I want to try this. Ooh, I want to try that. And it was a lot easier to experiment. And now not having as much time to experiment, or also kind of feeling like maybe I don't have the luxury anymore. Like I kind of feel like I have this style of content, my main channel that people know me for. And sometimes I'm trying to do some new stuff. Sometimes it doesn't land. Sometimes it does. But I can totally see where you're coming from. And I can totally understand why it's like there's never one clear voice that your content speaks from necessarily. And for me, it's been tough, but still doing it day in, day out. And I just find whatever can keep it fresh.
So you guys are doing the podcast channel now?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Do you have the Clips channel yet?
Right now we're doing the clips on the main channel, or yeah, well, this the clips are podcast be like a channel.
Okay, channel you have to do honestly. At least from my perspective, a majority of the podcast I watch will be the clips.
Me too.
Because like you take that 10-minute segment from the 2-hour conversation about whatever topic and throw that in the title, and they seem to draw so much attention. Well, so yeah,
we talked about it, and it would be way easier to do clips if I was still there doing like the live editing and like cutting the videos up. Cause then I could just, like right here, Force talked about where he started and all that kind of stuff. So I could do it while I was editing it. But now it's like, now we just take it and rip it and just throw in, cause we used to have multiple perspectives.
Thanks, Corona.
Well, and for me, I try and keep it straight, but having to sort things out for two, sometimes those three channels all in 1 week with everything I'm doing. Sometimes it's just like, I need to get to that, but it's just not at the top of my list.
Right.
So we need to get better at that, but that's why we eventually moved to this new channel. It's only been like 2-3 weeks. Episode.
I think overall it's probably the right call. Cause to have like normal gameplay videos and then throw in a 2-hour podcast.
Yeah.
It's just the inconsistency there, I think, is a problem for viewers. So yeah, I'm gonna try. I was serious. I was kind of half joking, but also serious that it's kind of a daunting task to start a brand new channel. But I think I could do it. I do. I've made some really good edited stuff before. I think what I might do is my main channel might just turn into topic discussion and news, because I've kind of always had that flow through the content I've done over the years. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just going to start doing some really well edited vlogs and stuff. I don't know.
And then maybe that becomes the main channel. You never know.
Oh, yeah. Who knows, dude? YouTube's.
That'd be fun.
In a perfect world.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I remember watching Casey Neistat and thinking the same stuff. Like, man, this would be sick to think. But then I'm like, I do nothing every day.
I know.
And that's when I realized, like, what am I going to
do? The mailbox. Cut.
Yeah. Like, here I am editing.
Like
editing some more, recording.
I've thought about like, hey, maybe I'll do a vlog about like what it's like to be a YouTuber. And then I was like, here's the vlog. I'm here for 12 hours.
And sync.
Like change the camera angle. Like
everyone's like always like when we did like our charity stream, they were like, do like a vlog or something. And it's like, what do you want us to vlog about? Like,
I'm not that interesting.
You don't do anything.
Like, hey guys,
and what
like,
are we gonna do now anyway?
Clean my car now. I'm gonna go get a car wash. Woo,
like, and in. this is me falling asleep on my couch because I'm depressed with Max right now.
It's literally like that. It's like, I don't know. What do you want me to do?
This is me having a mental breakdown in the middle of the day. And
if anything,
I'm in front of my computer if I'm going to stream or not for an hour and a half.
Oh, my God.
If anything, like, I would just like put people peeking into the window of just how lonely this job could be. Like,
yeah, right.
Well, it would probably turn a lot of people off.
I think a lot of people have had struggles with that before.
I mean, totally. Yeah. One of my favorite videos that I've actually done in the past year was when I relapsed into Classic WoW and I was playing that game.
Okay, thank God. I relapsed and I was like, whoa, I'm sorry, man. Okay.
It got really heavy here.
Whoa, it's getting heavy.
Honestly, though, again, not to diminish like drug addiction, but that thing it took over my life for like 12 to 14 hours a day for over a month straight. And one of the favorite videos that I made over the past year was just like basically making a video talking about that. And I kind of made it funny vlogging about how like I have no life. I'm skipping showers, skipping meals. I'm barely sleeping. I'm just completely addicted to WoW. And what were we talking about? Yeah, but I guess that was the point. And the video did really well because it was like, it was honest. Like this is like,
just real.
This is not healthy.
To WoW, like when it came out, we didn't see Shark.
We legit lost him for 3 months.
Three, four months. When did it come out? September.
It was longer.
Yeah,
it was like 5 months.
October, November, December, January, February, March, maybe.
Because he had to get High Warlord.
It was about 5 months.
Yeah, he got High Warlord.
Oh my God, that is ridiculous.
Yeah, that is ridiculous.
See, and then like we would always ask him, like, you can't like take an hour to get away, like, and he's like, no, dude,
nope.
Like, awesome, like High Warlord.
Yeah.
And then we asked our friend Dado, and we were just like, Dado, like, what do you know about this? And he's like, no, he's right. He can't take an hour off. He's gotta keep going.
Like, the reason it's so ridiculous is because the way it works in WoW, the rankings, the PvP rankings, it's basically you're compared to everyone else who's PvPing. So you have to, if someone's playing for 12 hours a day, you have to play for 13 hours a day if you want to beat them.
Dude.
And so that's why most people, back when I played Classic WoW originally,
when it was just WoW.
Yeah. I knew it was a pair of brothers that we knew were just swapping off the account, and they played 24 hours. And that's the guy that I knew who had High Warlord. So it is ridiculous that you have a friend who did that. Because
he'll let you know, too.
That's, I mean, rightfully so. I can't imagine committing to that.
We said, we hope we find a game that we love that much, too. Yeah. You know, like, more power to you.
Man.
Something to grind that much for?
I didn't believe him. I really didn't.
I didn't think it was that hard until like I told people, and they were like, "Oh my god!" Like,
yeah, most people were like,
just like another one that's just like, "Geez, like that's crazy that he did that."
It's a commitment.
Mm-hmm. I can move to Patreon questions if you want, Mr. Fruit, or if you had something.
I have one thing I want to bring up real quick.
Okay.
Well, there's a couple more, but we'll just get to this. Because speaking of expectations, we had the Pokemon Direct last week where they announced. Showed DLC. Yeah. They revealed a new Pokemon Snap, some random mobile games. And then they're like, by the way, tune in to another Direct on June 24th. And they had a whole bunch of stuff in the back. Like, people were like, oh, they're teasing us. Like, they're alluding to this.
I'm actually interested in seeing your opinion on this.
Yeah, people are like, bro, it's going to be this or it's going to be sick.
It's got ugly.
What did you guys think it was going to be?
I thought it was going to be Pokemon Go Johto.
Yeah, I thought it would
or
be
Let's
Johto,
Go. Pokemon Go, Let's Go Johto.
Let's Go. A lot of people wanted the Sinnoh remakes, and there's no way. There was no way we were getting Sinnoh remakes when they're like doing a DLC cycle right now.
But so instead, I wake up this morning, and while I'm doing cardio, I'm like,
oh boy.
The Pokemon thing is, let me pull this up. It's like about to start.
Now, precursor for E-Force, you would think Pokemon, that's a kid's game, right? That's we're vibing like that. The community is probably so nice. Literally, the most outspoken community of a game I have ever seen. When these people don't get what they want, dude, it gets really nasty in the best way possible. Because I love watching this type of shit happen.
Love seeing it unfold.
All I know is I went under Reddit and I was like, okay, new Pokemon thing. I clicked on the trailer. I was like, that is a lot of downvotes.
Yeah.
That is a lot of downvotes. What is going on?
I like this.
People are pissed. So they go to unveil it, and essentially they've been working with this Chinese company and Tencent. It's like Timit with Tencent, and it's this new Switch / mobile game that is like a mobile light version of Pokemon. And when it first got unveiled, I mean, personally, still too, I'm excited to play it. I love MOBAs. And I'm like, I'll give it a shot anyway. It's going to be free to play, whatever, screw it. I will also, like, my life doesn't depend on whether or not this Pokemon game gets announced. So for me, it was like, oh, hey, cool, maybe something I can try. And I like MOBAs. So I was like, oh, that's interesting. I'll try. And then I go online, and everyone's pissed.
Well, yeah, you and put it in the DMs, and I thought it was like a well-received thing, and nope, it was not.
I was hyped.
Now, yeah. So besides like the Tencent meme of everyone hates Tencent, what are people mad about? Is it because they didn't get the game that they were hoping?
So a lot of it was their expectations. Was because of like last stream. Like some people said maybe they would have taken this better if in the last stream they revealed this and then saved the Pokemon Snap announcement for today's thing, like something a little bit bigger. But because, and I mean, to be fair too, it's completely on the community. They're the ones that set the expectations. Yeah. Pokemon didn't say anything. They're just like, hey, tune in for more news next week. And that's it. And then, of course, the community's like, oh my gosh, it's going to be this. No, I bet it's going to be this. Oh,
it's
going to
be Breath of the Wild version of Pokemon.
Right. Like, everyone's freaking out. So they set the bar way too high. And if I've learned anything about Pokemon, don't expect anything. And that works out. So so they announce it. And I think a big part of that was like, who asked for this? Like disappointment. We were waiting for this or X and Y. I think that was a big part of it. And then everyone's jumping on the pay to win, Tencent, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, we have no idea how microtransactions, obviously there will be microtransactions. But we have no idea how they'll work, what that'll look like. Who knows? Again, might be just a cool little time waster on the toilet for all I know. Who knows? But
probably will be.
But I just didn't take it that seriously. But everyone else, like, this was do or die, apparently. And they're very upset.
I saw people complaining about their phrasing of free to start. But you could also say that's every MOBA.
Pretty right? 100%. Yeah,
literally every MOBA is free to start. But maybe it is the specific wording, because free to start means at some point you might have to pay to continue versus pay to unlock like cosmetics or something, right? So I don't know. I guess
it could also be.
I just don't get why they're upset, because they got something, you know, like they got something Pokemon related that's different.
It might also be something maybe lost in translation, or maybe Nintendo always has a weird way of saying things or like being super upfront, maybe because it's a kid's game. It just straight up be like, or like free to start or whatever to just maybe recognize. Cause like you said, MOBAs are free. The most money I've ever spent to a game is League of Legends, a free to play game. So yeah, they're free. But the thing though is, I was actually thinking about it earlier though, is like MOBAs, a lot of the money they make is off skins, but I don't know how they're going to do that with Pokemon. You can't just be like Shinies. Charizards now. Yeah, like maybe recolors. But so it'll be interesting. It's probably going to have to do something with like opening a chest, like, but it takes five hours. Or you can spend gems to open it now.
Sure.
That's probably what most mobile games are like. It wouldn't surprise me.
Well, how does, like, I know League has that whole, I've only really ever spent much time with Dota. But don't they have some kind of like skill tree thing in League?
They did. They used to have runes. Okay. They used to have runes that would give a marginal but enough of an advantage that like at higher play, it could mean a big difference. And it was like you had to spend IP or RP. IP is like the free currency you gain in game by just playing. And it's changed since then. But then RP is like the premium currency that you can buy. And the reason it was contentious was because free-to-play players, you play the game and you slowly get IP. But if you want to buy new champions, you need to spend IP. So you're either spending it to buy new IP or spending it to buy these runes, which are pretty expensive and very marginal differences in stats and all this kind of stuff. So for a while, that was the most arguable I would have, in that it was either pay to win or pay to play. It was a marginal difference, but then they redid the system to where those are completely gone. And now there's runes and masteries, but everyone has them unlocked.
Oh.
So it's just like a little skill tree you get to choose from now. It doesn't cost anything. And then the difference between if you've played Dota, I believe Dota, every champion's free to play or hero is free, right?
Yeah. It's all just skins. And then like the battle pass that they do. With
so
their,
with League, they've always had it to where there's a free rotation, but you have to buy every champion. Which for some people, for me, like I started with League, so that wasn't as weird to me. But I know like people who try Dota and then go to League, they complain about it.
Right.
I think there's pros and cons to both. I've heard Dota people say that while that is nice for Dota, it can also be super overwhelming because you just click on, you have like 80 people to choose from. Like, oh my goodness. Whereas like maybe you go on League and they have like, especially within like the first 10 levels, the rotation of champions are specific to like beginner friendly so that you know what you're picking. And then you go from there. And then I do think it's a little steep to buy. Like if you want every champion, which I have obviously because I did not stay free to play. But I mean, I'm talking like I have put thousands of hours into this game. So it's a mixture. And for me, like I don't regret any of the money I spent. For me, I felt like I got enough of fun from it that I did with like putting money into it, which I think is like a problem nowadays too. Like I was seeing actually this morning, some complaint, it was on the front page or something from the Animal Crossing subreddit. And someone's like, this game needs more content. And he's like, I've played like 600 hours, man. But like,
yeah.
Now I'm bored. It's like, you paid $60. You got 600 hours. I mean, yeah, there could be more content. But like, that seems like a pretty good deal. Like, that seems like you had fun.
I'd say you got a successful game, buddy. Like,
yeah,
you got your money's worth.
And I think it's kind of like more to speak to what you said about Destiny, where people are like, I've played this game for so many years. I want to play it more. So we need more stuff. But, you know, some people don't like stop to look and be like, well, wait, I have gotten a lot out of this. I just want more.
I mean, it's like every time you see a meme about a negative Steam review and then they like zoom into played hours is 3,000. It's like,
yeah, exactly.
Game was okay.
You don't hate the game that much.
The recurring meme of the Destiny community is, yeah, I mean, this is probably the best, worst game I've ever sunk 3,000 hours into. It was okay, I guess. Because Destiny playtime hours for a shooter are super high, right? Like, I think I'm probably coming up with like 3,000 hours in Destiny 2.
Jesus.
And I would say like the average player has like at least like 1,200, 1,500 hours, which for like a normal player is a lot, so...
I don't think I
as much as we hate the game, you know, we still play it, so they keep making content and I would keep playing it, so
yeah.
I'm part of the problem.
Have you guys talked much about how enthusiastic the Destiny community seems to be about them removing content? Because I went on I went on a Twitter rant about this. And I completely understand the entire perspective of this was content that nobody went to, so who cares? We just want new content. And if this is what it takes for them to get new content, we're fine with it. Valid argument. But I bought every single freaking thing that they're removing. Because before New Light, it all cost money. And I think it's just for me, as admittedly, I'm not an avid Destiny player. The first game I probably played at least 1,000 hours in. But Destiny 2, I was like... I've had this experience more or less, right? Like the general, but from someone just at the concept of I spent money on this thing in this game and they're taking it away.
Yeah,
it's just really hard. And the whole time I was talking about it, I get so much pushback from people who play Destiny every day. So I will concede that their opinions are more valuable to Bungie than me. So just forget everything I'm saying. If you want to, but it just like I've never seen that before. I've never seen a company say, "Hey guys, we have to take this content out to make new content."
I don't get that either.
But well, so the reason I'm pretty sure the reason this is happening is because they were expecting to make Destiny 3. So when I remember hearing reports with the first Destiny that their like content production pipeline was horrible. Like if they were to add a tree, they would have to render or whatever for a week or something. Like it was just crazy. It was so difficult for them to add new content. So like Destiny 2, we're going to make it better. But whatever kind of coding that they used, it's clearly bloated to the point where they just can't, they can't compress the shit anymore. The file size is too big, which I understand complaints for console players who have a limited amount of storage space and everything. But again, the general concept of them taking out content that I paid money for, it's, and I get that it might come back at some point. I'm just not, I'll just say I'm not used to it. And I'm not saying that I spent every single time I played Destiny, I was going to Mars. I'm not saying that. But as someone who with like a history of MMOs, it was always nice to be able to go back and revisit those areas. Yeah. And I think the thing that bothered me the most is my dream always with Destiny has been like, if someone could like take Halo gameplay and stick it in the World of Warcraft, I'd probably have my dream immersive game.
Hey,
yeah. And I wanted Destiny yeah. to be that, but it's clear because it's high fidelity. The gameplay's fluid. They have other players in there. They can't, they just can't do it. I was hoping one day with Destiny 2, all of Destiny 1 would just get migrated in and we would get this ever expanding universe. But it's just, it's clearly not possible. So I understand why Bungie is doing it, but it doesn't make it suck any less for me.
So
even if I didn't spend much time in that stuff.
You're the preacher and we're the choir. So
I'm surprised you guys had that opinion because I got so much kickback from avid Destiny players who were shitting on me saying, who gives a shit? Nobody goes there.
We get kickback from Destiny players.
Okay. It was a very... Destiny community is very divisive in their like what Bungie does with their things, right? Like Bungie can do something that's super shitty and like half the community would be like, just fucking like, you don't know, dude, you don't know if it's gonna suck. It's probably gonna suck. It ends up sucking. Oh, nobody knew it was gonna suck. It happens. That's just how it is. That's mostly because Destiny community is for the most part a very casual player base, so which is like a double-edged sword because a lot of people didn't even know about sunsetting. A lot of people didn't even know stuff was going away. So it's a very divided community in that regard just because there's such, it's such a weird way of handling the game. I have a theory on why they're doing this, and you are right. I think 100% they were going to go for Destiny 3, but that's not an option anymore because, well, they're independent now, and making a whole new game would mean they can't develop. They could say... like all they want, they could work on Destiny 3, and that would be great. But they would absolutely have to stop all production on Destiny 2 for a very long time.
I think they said that, right?
Yeah,
in some developer interview or in their post that like they would basically have to cut new content for like a year if they wanted to work on Destiny 3. So.
And that's just not going to happen considering they're newly independent. They have to have some form of revenue. To have your game not be developed for 2 years, to not have a source of income, is just not going to happen.
Yeah.
So the problem with Destiny 2 and moving forward with what they want to do, because the game has changed so much, like the game is so much more complex than it was when D2 launched, is that the base D2 stuff is really, really bad. The raids are really cool, right? But base D2 stuff is awful. Like guns have guns are static rolls. You can't even get them random rolled. All that old content is just totally irrelevant. Yeah. Like there's literally no reason to play it. As a new player, it's a nice intro, but there is no reason to touch it. There's no reason to go back to it besides like, oh yeah, this was a cool raid back in the day. Like, but there's no transmogs. There's no reason to go back and be like, oh, you can get this cool transmog for your character that's really tight. No reason to do any of that. I think the content vaulting isn't going to last forever. I think what they're doing is they are building on, because the foundation of Forsaken, which came out 2 years ago at this point, is probably what they're trying to build up as the basis of like, okay, this needs to be what the entirety of the game standard is moving forward. So, because I don't think they talked about how we don't want, the game can't grow infinitely, like the file size would be too huge, and it's like, okay, first of all, that's bullshit. Have you seen Warzone?
Yeah,
people will install, if they love your game, they will make room gigabytes for your game, all right? Like, they will make room. So, and Bungie's known for giving, like, half answers to, like, the process of what they want to do. Like, they're not going to straight up say, Yeah, so like base D2 sucks, so we got to get rid of all that to make room for new content, and then that'll be the base D2. Yeah. They're not going to straight up say that. They're going to be like, hey, so there's new Destiny content vault, and you know, maybe old stuff will come back. And I don't doubt the old stuff won't come back, because it will. It'll just come back as an updated version. So I'm mixed, because I don't really like the idea of what you said, we don't own our games, right? When you say that, when you say, oh, well, I paid $60 for this. And when they take stuff away, it's kind of sets a standard of, oh, well, we don't actually own our games. We're just renting them, which kind of sucks. But I'm hoping that Bungie...
It's not like we haven't been in that situation for 10 years now with games. So
So it sucks. But my hope is that Bungie is doing this with the motive of, hey, we know this old content sucked, so we're going to take it away and bring it back later when it's actually, you know, Bungie-fied, Destiny 2-ified.
Mm.
And they're working on a new game, right?
The job postings that they were looking for, some guy to make RPG quests and shit. So maybe my dream of Halo World of Warcraft will come true.
You never know.
In the future. Well, but
I saw that too, and I got excited, but apparently... some ex-employee or something, like HR or something, mentioned that when they post job postings, they like to be really cryptic, but also just throw in random stuff. So apparently that job application said that, but like they're just looking for a programmer, like something like that. I mean, like we don't know.
But we all know, because they have such a big investment.
But a bunch of dungeon
making
crawler,
another game.
I mean, I'm down.
You don't get thrown a couple hundred million and they're like, yeah, don't make a game for us.
I don't know what's going on there. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Cosmodrome and Vault of Glass. I'll play that shit again.
Hey, nothing like old the pull on the nostalgia, you know what I'm saying?
God, man, only like suffering back old content. Oh shit, am I gonna play it? You're goddamn right I am.
For you guys that'll be a good week of videos, if nothing
else. Should be fun,
yeah.
But we'll round it out with some Patreon questions. Rob, hit us with them.
I think this first question is for Fours. Winky Dinky asks, when is Friday Night Magic coming back? Please.
Never again. Uh-huh. I will say never again, but I love Magic the Gathering, but it is hard to justify spending all that freaking money.
Were you playing on Arena?
Well, that's the thing. I actually liked when they did their yearly releases, because it was like a closed system. But right now you can spend hundreds of thousands of dollars buying all the Magic cards online, and so I'm all done. I appreciate the support, but
but never again.
Robbie asks, do you any of you guys watch the UFC? If so, who's your favorite fighter? I'm not a big UFC guy. I don't like to see blood and stuff, you know? Like, I'll see it, like, if it's on at, like, Buffalo Wild Wings and I'm walking past or something like that, but I'm not like, UFC 27, dude, can't fucking wait. But
I'm down to watch some dudes beat each other up. It's just that I'm pretty casual. It's like,
you don't, like, follow.
Yeah, no, if they're like big title fighter, like, yo, here's this big story coming out, big something, like, oh, okay, maybe I'll try and watch it. But the only ones like I've ever bought were like
McGregor
versus Mayweather.
I was there.
Another McGregor fight. It pretty much just like these really big ones where it's like everyone's watching. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll watch. Otherwise, I'll find the highlights or something. I'll be like, oh, okay, cool. Where is the KO? No KO. I don't know. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, not my thing. McGregor's funny as hell, though. I've seen so many interviews with him. I'm like, this guy's a character.
That's what sells tickets, you know?
Yep, for sure.
Blue, are you interested in UFC at all?
UFC is just not my thing. I used to be kind of into it, because for a long time I was in WWE, and I was like, oh, UFC, it's like wrestling, but like real. And like people beat the shit out of each other. And I started watching it, and I was like, I mean, this is tight, I guess.
This one.
Well, back to video games.
You guys want to see some
of things that are real?
Some live action brain damage. You guys interested?
What's that?
One of the GG legends has a question. Grizzly Stag says, "Long time watcher, long time listener. This is a question for everyone.
Besides the GCX event, what other charities do you support or prefer to donate to? Also, great job on the GCX event, including everyone that participated in it.
Do I?
I like to try, whenever I do decide to like donate to charities and stuff, I kind of do it like on like a whim kind of a thing. Like if I'm walking out of like a King Soopers and there's somebody there that's saying, hey, we're giving like kids backpacks.
Senator's ringing like, his bell.
Yeah. Ooh. Or something like that. Or like if there's like, hey, like kids need a backpack. Like, can you buy like $25 for like one backpack? And then I'll be like, oh, I'll get two backpacks. So it's just something like that where it's like locally and just kind of like a spur of the moment kind of thing. And then definitely St. Jude as well with like the whole GCX event is one that I like to donate to. But mostly like local kind of spur of the moment kind of things.
For charity related stuff, I can't get enough of the speed running. Like Summer Games Done Quick, Awesome Games Done Quick.
Yeah.
That's how I first got into Dark Souls, is watching the speedruns, and I was just like, this shit is freaking awesome, dude.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I'll donate to that stuff. But then, yeah, stuff in real life as well.
Mm-hmm. When I'm at like PetSmart, checking out for my dog or something, and then they're like, there's like a sad kitty, and it's like, will you donate $1 to help? Like, I'm like, oh my. Like, how am I not going to? They know exactly what you're doing.
I pay my monthly ASPCA subscription.
I would say, obviously, I donate some big stuff to St. Jude every year. On and off. I raised some before when we hit 1 million, but then also I've donated sometimes to American Suicide Prevention. And then aside from that, I should get involved in some more stuff. Doing some more research. I think I'd want it to be more local too. Like in the local community, but
yeah.
St. Jude's definitely the biggest one I've consistently supported.
Blue.
So besides St. Jude, I'll usually donate to like we have a lot of civil rights movements going on.
ACLU as well.
Sure. And yeah, so the unfortunate part is that happens so often, but whenever something big comes up and like there's like a fundraiser for people who are unfortunately affected by it, I'm not going to get too far into it, but I'll usually donate to those GoFundMes. I'll donate to those a lot. But yeah, besides that, pretty much St. Jude is my other, pretty much every year I try to give something to St. Jude.
I support Kickstarters, and sometimes it feels like that. So,
the Kickstarters still happen?
Yeah. 4 years later. Oh, right. I supported that.
Yeah. We'll do Dylan as the last one here. What game, if any, do you think will be the next game on the channel, Fruit? Also, a question for everyone. What is your favorite Star Wars thing, show, movie, game, etc.? Christian, what is the next big game?
Bro, I've been looking for it for 2 years. Bruh. Right? Like, bruh. Like, you tell me, man. Literally, did things it not, keep coming. And...
Did Warzone not take off for you? That game is so
good. Which is so odd because people like my normal multiplayer, but they don't like the battle. My channel hates battle royales almost. Like when Fortnite first came out, that was like one of the, aside from PUBG at the time, really, that, and I never really played H1Z1, but it was like one of the first more approachable battle royales that I could make an interesting video out of. PUBG was just way too slow for me. So I was like, oh, let's do this. And then it was like lukewarm, and then people were like, yeah, dude, just stop it, pretty much. I'm like, okay. And then
just Apex, like that, they were like, yeah, man, just stop.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, bro, just like. And by that, I mean, you could just tell from views and engagement and stuff. So then, what was it? Apex was really the next one, which like pops off for like a week, and then it just goes straight down the dumps,
and then
it crashes.
And then Warzone, first three videos, people like, yeah, and then after that they're like, nah, just like go back to multiplayer. And I'm like, okay. Wish you guys would like battle royales, because like that's the only thing coming out right now that are big. But
no kidding.
So, yeah, I have no idea. Like, Valorant, thought that might be it. Played that a little bit, and people were like, this is slow, boring, I don't want to watch this. I'm like, okay, well, I guess that was not Valorant. Before, I can count, like, 6-7 games that I was honestly like, this might cut it. And nothing's cut it since Overwatch. So
something will come out. Maybe
hopefully the podcast cuts it, but we got to unfortunately end it now.
Oh,
Forrest, thank you for joining us. That was super dope.
Thanks for having me.
All
yeah.
this stuff, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Where can people find you on the internet?
Twitter at Force Strategy, as Fruit said earlier, and then on YouTube, if you just search Force Gaming, my actual URL though right now is youtube.com/ForceGamingYT. Stands for YouTube.
Okay. Oh,
yeah, that's my Twitter handle.
Didn't know.
My Twitter handle is Mr. Fruit YT.
Yeah.
You can find me at twitch.tv/RobbieVBlue.
You can find me everywhere at Blue Oslo.
And you can find me in your local produce aisle. So with that,
hey-o.
Thank you very much for watching episode 43 of the GG Over Easy podcast. We appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for watching or listening, whatever you listen to your podcast. You're cool. We love you. See you in the next one.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.